If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, which probably you have in your pews. The heading for this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, 25 through 37. Listen. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Peter Goodwin was a bit of an oddity in this African village where he grew up. You see, Peter was a British citizen. He didn't look like any of those African children. His family had moved to Rhodesia when he was just a child. His mother was a missionary doctor, and she had the assignment to give vaccinations to everyone there. Vaccinations for tuberculosis and smallpox and polio. Now, in some of the vaccinations, just injection was needed. Some of the other applications were not as painful. It was just a matter of a few drops of medicine on a sugar cube. So while Peter's mother would give vaccinations to everybody, Peter went around with a tray of sugar cubes with medicine on it to keep the children and everybody from getting polio. It was in the early 1960s that Harriet and I moved to Sharon, South Carolina, our first pastorate. And one day while we were there, during our time there, everybody in the community went to the local gymnasium, and there they offered these sugar cubes with medicine. So we took ours, just like Peter Goodwin did for all of these people in Rhodesia. And with the young children, he made sure that they took the sugar cube and that they swallowed it. So that was his assignment in taking care of vaccinations and giving sugar cubes with medicine to combat polio. Now, in the 1970s, civil war in Rhodesia forced the Goodwin family to return to England. Peter grew up, and he now became a journalist. And he worked for the London Sunday Times. They sent him back to Africa in 1986 to cover the clash between the government and the army, much like we read about this past week that happened in Turkey, a clash between the government and the army. So he went back to cover that. Well, while he was there, he was captured by some armed rebels, and they took him back to the base camp. It was 2 days' journey, and on the journey, they roughed him up. They beat him some and kicked him. And so after 2 days, they got back and took him to the base commander. And the commander started talking to these soldiers and in that language that they understood. But Peter knew the language, too. He had grown up knowing this language as a young child, son of a missionary doctor. And so he started conversing with the head of this group, this army. And he said, "Where did you learn to do that?" So Peter Goodwin told him the story. As a child, he had been there and helped his mother. And when he told the commander that his name was Peter Goodwin, the man recognized the name Goodwin. "Oh, I remember you. I remember your mother." And he rolled up his shirt sleeve and showed the little scar there where he had gotten for smallpox. And he said, "And I remember you as a child handing out sugar cubes so that I wouldn't get polio." And so what had once been time of hostility and anger toward him became just the opposite. He was a friend. "You had done great things for me as a child." And so they took him back to where he had been captured. And in fact, they wanted to have a picture taken with him and this group of soldiers and that commander. It's nice, isn't it, when good works are rewarded. But you know, it's even nicer when no reward is anticipated. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, the Bible tells us, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and left him for dead on the roadside. Now, you know the story as well as I do. I just got through reading it, and you've heard it before. It was a 17-mile journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Robbers were known to be there, and they would attack people as they traveled on that road. And this man was half-beaten on the side of the road, and a priest goes by. and looks at him and goes on, doesn't do anything. A Levite comes by and he sees him and he looks down, then he decides to go on, does nothing. If Jesus had told that story in our own day and time, he would probably say a Protestant minister went by and he saw him there and went by on the other side. And a Roman Catholic priest might have seen him and walked by on the other side. That would be a contemporary version of that story. Insensitivity knows no race or creed. Now, regardless of the religious affiliation, they should have known better that they were leaders in their faith. Makes the story disturbing. But it's also ironic that one of the heroes of the story is the Good Samaritan. And the hearers of Jesus telling this story must have been astonished, because Jesus is telling in this story that it was a Samaritan who helped the Jew who was half dead on the side of the road. Samaritans and Jews had nothing to do with each other. They didn't want to be in each other's company. But yet this Samaritan sees a man in distress and he helps him. That's astonishing. It's also astonishing that the Jewish man who is half dead from a beating would even accept help from a Samaritan. But I think it's even more astonishing when we think about the role of the innkeeper. Now, innkeepers obviously played a different kind of role in Jesus' day than they do in our day. Can you imagine somebody taking somebody who's been injured to our local Hampton Inn and telling the manager there, I brought in this person, he's been injured, and I'm going to give you a little bit of money to help take care of him, and then I'm going to go off. I got somewhere I need to go. You take care of him. And when I come back, I'll pay you the rest of what I need to pay. Can you imagine a manager of Hampton Inn doing that? Well, anyway, that's what, in a sense, what the Samaritan was doing. And it's astonishing to me that the innkeeper was willing to do it. So I want us to consider now the kindness of the innkeeper. The victim of the beating would need several weeks to recover, I would say, because the Bible says he was half dead. Now, it's one thing to deliver emergency care, but the Samaritan is asking the innkeeper to give long-term care. We don't know how long it's going to take for this man to get well from his injuries. But the innkeeper assumed the responsibility. He said, okay, I'll do it. He trusted the Samaritan to come back later and pay him what needed to be paid. So we have in this story that Jesus tells his hearers, we have a story about kindness and compassion by the Good Samaritan and by the innkeeper. And I think it's a story that we need to apply to our lives today. What we need in our day is kindness and compassion toward those who are in need. The story tells us to renew our sensitivity to the needs of the people that we encounter. The story is a call to well-doing. The story reminds us that kindness and decency and compassion is needed in our world, helping those who are less fortunate. When Edgar Guest the American poet and writer, was a young man. He and his wife lost their firstborn son. And this was devastating to Edgar Guest. He said, "I didn't know how to cope with life. I became so depressed that our precious little newborn son suddenly died. And me and my wife just didn't know what to do, how to face life ahead of us." He said, "A few days later, I had to go to the drugstore to get some medicine. And my neighbor was the druggist. Now, we just had an acquaintance. We were not real close. But he was my neighbor. So I go to the drugstore, tell him I need this certain medicine. And the druggist, his name was Jim Potter, he said, "Eddie, come with me." He took him around the counter, took him back into a little room that must have been his office. He put his hands on Eddie's shoulder, and he said, "Eddie, I don't know how to express my sympathy to you and to your wife in the death of your little boy. I am so sorry. I am heartbroken, as I know you are, and I don't know really how to express my sympathy to you. But Eddie, let me tell you this. I'm sorry, but I want you to know from the depth of my heart that if you need anything at all, you come to me. What's mine is yours." And Edgar Guest said he could never forget the kindness, the sympathy, the compassion that his neighbor had for him. He said, "I'm sure that Jim Potter," as years later, he said, "I'm sure that Jim Potter has forgotten that scene when he offered me everything he had could be mine. I'm sure he's forgotten that. But," he said, "I will never forget that act of kindness and compassion that he expressed to me." Kindness and decency are possible in our world. And this is the truth that we need to be reminded of. In fact, I believe that they are essential ingredients to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Hear that again. This kindness and compassion and decency are essential ingredients to be a follower of Jesus. There was a classic experiment performed years ago. In that experiment, an unexpected person was walking by an alley. In the alley, there was a lady. And she would start screaming when this innocent passerby went by. There were other two people over here who were part of the experiment. And they heard the cry also. And the unsuspected, innocent person saw that they did nothing. So he did nothing either. They heard the cry, but they're not doing anything. So I won't do anything either. And this happened several times. Innocent bystander would go walking by the alleyway. The lady would scream. The two men over here did nothing. Innocent bystander kept walking. But during the experiment, several times when the innocent bystander would go walking by, the lady would scream. Then the two people over here, part of the experiment, would go and see what they could do to help the lady in distress. And when they went, the innocent bystander would go too. And the study led psychologists to conclude that our response to another person's need is often determined by how other people respond. This is our clue about whether the situation merits our involvement. And I think Jesus would want us to be aware of the fact that when there's a person in need, we need to respond. We need to go. God has planted us in this world to be an example of both kindness and compassion, to reach out to those who are in need. And after people see our willingness to get involved, then others will get involved too. Not only do we respond to human need and our neighborly concern, but also as our way of witnessing to God in our world. Because there's a man on the cross, Jesus Christ himself, who died for our sin, who sacrificed himself for our salvation. That man on the cross says, "What I did for you, you are to do for others." That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, our text, our scripture lesson for today, comes in response to a question given to Jesus by a lawyer. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what does the law say?" And the lawyer responds that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, I don't think there's any doubt in the world that the priest and the Levite loved God. They were religious people. They loved God. I don't doubt that at all. They were probably returning from their religious duties in the temple. But my friends, doing our religious duties is not enough. I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach in this parable. Doing our religious duties, coming to church, worshiping in the sanctuary, giving our tithes and our offerings, that's part of our religious duties. But Jesus in this story is trying to convey the truth that's not enough. There's more to the Christian faith than just doing our religious duties. Because we're also to love our neighbors as ourselves. Our faith is about loving God, but it's also about loving our neighbor. It's about doing good without an expectation of a reward. It's about following the example of the Good Samaritan and the kind innkeeper. It's about acting with kindness and decency toward others. And you know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know. I know that. But we've got to be reminded. Are we doing it? Yes, we're doing our religious duties by being here in church and worshiping God, but are we also loving our neighbors as ourselves? And who's our neighbor? Not just the person that lives next door, not just the person who lives down the street. It's anybody we come in contact with. It doesn't make any difference about their nationality. It doesn't make any difference about what country they've come from. It doesn't make any difference about what their religion is. We, as children of God, as compassionate Christians, need to show love and compassion toward others. That's what Jesus would have done. Let's be like Jesus. You know that, and I know that, but it's up to us to do it. We need to do something about it. We need to be reminded. We need to be renewed in our sensitivity to the needs of everybody that we encounter. We need to be reminded that kindness and decency and compassion are possible in our world. In fact, I believe Jesus was teaching his listeners, and by that same story, he is teaching us, that one of the essential ingredients to being a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus and to be sensitive to the needs of other people. We claim to be a follower of Christ, and let's do it. Not only to worship God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to love our neighbors as well. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that you will help us to be sensitive to others around us. Help us to show compassion and kindness and always as we meet other people, to always do this. In the name of Christ, we make our prayer. Amen.